The 10th Amendment of the United States Constitution reads as follows. The powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. But what do I know? Far more learned on matters such as this are the folks at the 10th Amendment Center, based in Los Angeles, and the founder of the 10th Amendment Center, Michael Bolden, joins us here on News Talk 97.3 Cairo FM. Hey, Michael, great to talk to you this afternoon.
Great to be here, Dory. I think you actually just made the entire argument for me. The Constitution was written in plain English for average people to understand because it's supposed to create a government of, by, for the people. I mean, this is supposed to be about the people being in charge. So you're not necessarily supposed to have a legal scholar that has to explain every clause. And average people like you and I are supposed to be able to understand this. And you've made the argument quite well.
Well, and let's talk about this, because there is no precedent that I can find, and that any of the politicians who I've had on my show, Michael, there is no precedent that anybody can cite for the federal government forcing people to purchase a commodity against their will.
Well, and I happen to be one of those people that have chosen not to purchase health insurance for various reasons. The only precedent that I might be aware of was back in the Militia Acts of 1792 and 1795, I believe, and I would have to do a little further research, but I believe the federal government required all able-bodied males to purchase a gun to make sure that they were protecting themselves against a potential British invasion. But as far as this individual mandate, the federal government tends to actually claim, and I think if it went to the Supreme Court, they would claim that they have this authority under the Commerce Clause of the Constitution. This is Article 1, Section 8, Clause 3. Without getting too boring, the Congress is given the authority to regulate commerce among the several states. Now, if, like any legal document, the words of the Constitution mean today exactly what it meant at the moment it was signed and ratified by the people, we have to understand what regulate commerce among the several states meant at the time of the founding. And in short, it meant that the federal government could make uniform rules for the entire country on commercial transactions that crossed state jurisdictional boundaries or borders. Regulate did not mean to ban or prohibit or control or mandate.
Mandate. Yeah, I mean, and that to me is the central issue here. And I'm guessing for any scholar they can say, any constitutional scholar that Congress can cite that says they have justification, I'm guessing we could find many more of people who say not just a literal interpretation, but a general interpretation would suggest that this is the federal government far overstepping its bounds.
Well, most constitutional, quote, experts out there will actually, well, they don't really study the founding of the Constitution. What they do is they study case law. So we have two versions of the Constitution. And the question is, does the Constitution mean what the founders told us it meant, or does it mean what the Supreme Court tells us what it means until it changes its mind? Under the latter version, there is some debate of whether the court would uphold this mandate or not. It could go either way. Under the original version of the Constitution, the one that we the people ratified, the Commerce Clause has not been amended. There is absolutely no debate or no serious debate that Congress is authorized to do something like this mandate under the Commerce Clause.
Why have you decided to as a passion, as a pursuit, to dedicate so much of your energy to the 10th Amendment? I think it's great because, you know, we talk all the time about the First, the Second, the Fifth Amendments, but, you know, I really believe that the 9th and 10th Amendments of the Constitution are every bit as essential to our living in a free, unencumbered land, and yet very few people talk about those.
Well, Thomas Jefferson referred to the 10th Amendment as the foundational bedrock of the Constitution. In legalese, it's known as what's called a rule of construction. Basically, it defines how to view the entire document. And it says that we, the people of the several states, created the federal government to be our agent for certain enumerated or listed purposes. So basically, the federal government is authorized only to exercise those powers that were delegated to it and listed out in the Constitution.
And you know what's going to happen. I believe if the 10th Amendment argument is an essential part of this debate in the days and weeks and months to come over health care reform, everybody always says that the states' rights argument is fundamentally an argument that that is about racism, that and that's what always is brought up by people who are trying to oppose somebody who believes in a 10th Amendment interpretation of the Constitution.
Which is absolutely amazing. Over at the 10th Amendment Center, we put up a lot of scholarly and historic research. And on one day, we had an article up there talking about how nullification and the 10th Amendment was used to resist slavery laws back in the mid-19th century. And that same day, there was someone in the media talking about how using the 10th Amendment is a racist argument. I think it's kind of a badge of honor. When people have nothing else to resort to, they cannot win an argument, they kind of lean on these types of attacks to try to pigeonhole people into doing something evil. I mean, racist and segregation. This is nasty stuff. And it's up to people like you and I to continue talking about what's right and just kind of ignore those things.
Okay, now what's your take? I had the governor of Idaho on my show 2 days ago, mm-hmm. Right before, and he told me on my show about the bill that got so much attention later in the day,
right,
that Idaho, I mean, he has now directed his attorney general to sue the federal government if this health care reform bill passes, if the federal government tries to tell the citizens of Idaho that they must purchase a commodity. He has directed the attorney general to sue the federal government. I mean, this is directly tied to the 10th Amendment, right?
Absolutely. I don't have a lot of hope in the black robe deities that sit on the Supreme Court. I mean, they've got a lot of precedent. They've ruled just as recently as 2005, if you grow a plant in your backyard and consume it in your home, marijuana that is, that's somehow interstate commerce, even if you're not buying and selling it. So they've got a lot of precedent over decades to rule against the liberty of the people. But it is an essential step to sue the federal government. Thomas Jefferson and James Madison both warned us that if any branch of the federal government ever had sole and exclusive right to determine the extent of the federal government's powers, those powers would continue to grow even if we had elections, separation of powers, or whatever. The reality is, whether the courts give us permission to exercise our rights or not, we the people need to learn how to exercise them on our own.
And agreed, but you know, right now people are feeling very frustrated. 70% of the people are against this health care bill. It's getting more and more frustrating for people because they feel powerless against this government and this is what I really believe, that we have a government corporate cabal that's pushing for health care, and the people are getting more and more distant from the powerful forces that have aligned against us, and I think that makes for a very scary time if people just throw up their arms in frustration, say, well, there's nothing we can do, it's just going to roll over us, we might as well just take it.
Some of my very close friends on the left have told me that they're opposed to the health care reform as it is because they see it as a corporate bailout for insurance interests. And for many years, ERISA laws on the federal level have prevented local communities or states from enacting their own socialized health care programs. So it's really kind of just this whole system of centralizing and doing corporate handouts and bailouts to big companies that back the politicians, just like you were saying.
What would our founding fathers have said about this health care reform bill?
Well, just what we've been saying all along. There's absolutely no authority to do something like this. Now, if a state wanted to make a program like this, technically they could. That's what
absolutely.
The testament says.
And I've said that all along, that if a state wanted to mandate this with a vote of the people, then I don't think we would, you know, we might have a financial argument, but we certainly wouldn't have a constitutional argument. But the federal government doing this is crazy, and this is not a land of freedom and liberty when the federal government can do something like this, in my view.
Dory, this is really one of the most important parts of the American system, this idea of federalism and decentralization. It's the only system in the world that can allow people of widely varying beliefs, politically, economically, religious, to all live in the same landmass in peace because they can have their own version of what they like in their area, all united together on the idea of defending each other from invasion or attack. So Washington could have a socialized healthcare system. Massachusetts could have one. Oklahoma could have a free market one. And you wouldn't have two sides of the political coin always battling each other to take over the national prize and leaving most people unhappy.
Yeah. Hey, great stuff. So what's your guess? If this passes, and You know, right now it looks like a coin toss if it's going to. If people do make the constitutional argument against it, what's your gut here, Michael?
I think it's a coin toss in the federal courts. The real question is, what will we, the people, do? Will they do like many medical marijuana activists have done and ignore the Supreme Court rulings and just continue to exercise their rights to the point where the federal government really can't enforce the law?
Well, and you know, they'll throw you in prison if you don't buy your health insurance.
Well, that's what they say about people getting medical marijuana in California. Yet there's millions of people doing it today. There's 1,000 marijuana dispensaries in the city that I live in Los Angeles. So yes, there obviously is some risk. But when the federal government doesn't do what's right, the people really need to.
All right, you can check out Michael's organization at 10thAmendmentCenter.com. Keep up the good work, Michael. Great talking to you.
Thanks, Dory. Thanks for having me here.
All right, you bet. Michael Bolton with the 10th Amendment Center. And that, to me, is the central part of this health care reform argument.